Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now that we're done with the whippersnappers, this is Wretched Radio. Where was this book when we were getting married and doing the in-law dance? Wayne Mack writing, in-laws married with parents. The Bible reveals there's oodles of relationship in Scripture that are tumultuous between parents-in-law and the kids-in-law. Wah and la, fast forward to today, we still have these struggles. This book will help you navigate them because dynamics get super funky. They change radically and they move into places that initially you're uncomfortable. I didn't feel this way before. I used to really enjoy that with my kids. I have a picture on my phone. When my phone pops up, it is a picture of me, you know, my favorite image. And it's from 20-some years ago in the kitchen of our house with Emily on my lap. And my arms are just like, I'm like a cobra. Just, I've got her wrapped in there. And she's got her little head tipped to the side like she's being held by Dad. But it changes all of a sudden. They become teenagers, then they get married. And we need to adjust. From Wayne Mack, here are some helps for you, Mom and Dad. First, parents must make sure the primary human relationship in their lives is with their spouse before your kids get married and after. Remember, leaving and cleaving, the most important relationship that we have outside of with Jesus Christ is with our spouse, not our kids, not the grandkids, with our spouse. If you're not cultivating that, going to be a lot harder when the kiddos leave. Second, as parents raise their children, they should prepare themselves for the time when they will leave them. You better, because it's going to be weird and it's going to be a challenge and you're going to feel a lot of stuff. You're going to feel loss. It's going to feel like a death. It's going to feel like one of your arms was cut off. You think those things through before they hit you like a tidal wave. Third, parents must prepare and train their children for leaving, giving them more and more responsibility as they become teenagers. You got to let them make decisions. Now, if it is a decision that they make that is immoral, you don't let them make it. But if it can be made without you, you should let them. I said that really fast, but you should chew on that long and hard. When your kids are old enough to make decisions, let them make as many as they can. If it's a mom or dad decision, they don't make it. But if it's a... Wayne Mack tells a great story. This will help you parent your teenagers. Teenager comes into the house. Hey, Dad, I want to get a. I think he wanted like the thing that the kids ride on, the motor scooter thingy. That's whatever. That all the other kids had it, and he wanted Dad to give him the stamp of approval. And instead, Wayne said, "Tell you what, why don't you write down all of the ways this decision will either glorify God or not glorify God, and then show me your list." A few days later, the son appears. Dad, I don't want to get that thing. The kid made the decision all by him. Dad didn't have to go, "What are you, nuts? You know how dangerous those things are? You know, we're not made out of money. Just because the kids down the street get them, you falling for peer pressure?" Why don't you write down if this decision glorifies God or not? What are you doing? You're helping them be independent. It'll help them. And guess what? It will help you. And it was a dirt bike, by the way. I found it on page 25. Mom and Dad, get ready for your kids to leave. Fourthly, always keeping in mind that their children have been loaned to them from God. You don't own them. You're borrowing them from the Lord. Fifth, as parents raise their children, they must be careful to give them the right to respectfully disagree without being hurt or angry with them and without punishing them. Now, we're not talking about sin issues. We're talking about preference issues. Your kid, increasingly, as they mature, can say, "You know, Dad, I don't think so." "What do you mean you don't think so?" I've been an adult longer than you've been alive. They can disagree because they're going to, when they get married, they're going to disagree a lot and do things very differently. Sixth, parents should help their children leave by accepting their child's mate as an equal to their own child. It's not my daughter and my son-in-law. No, no, no. They're in this relationship because they're one flesh. Don't forget, it affects you too, that one flesh relationship. Don't see them as the preferred and... Seventh, parents ought to seek to develop a proper peer relationship with their adult children. Ooh. This is hard, Mom and Dad. I'm telling you, swallow this pill because you're gonna. You're either going to swallow it with a big glass of water, or somebody is going to forcefully open up your mouth, take a blowgun, and just poof, the big pill down the back of your throat. Parents should influence their adult children primarily by example, and when necessary and biblically appropriate, through gentle, humble, and well-timed verbal counsel and advice. Lead by example. When it's really necessary, then you gently and winsomely offer counsel and advice. Parents should make it easy and desirable for their adult children to receive their perspectives on the issues that they are facing. Before seeking to instruct or correct children, and we're talking about adult children, parents should seriously pray that God would prepare them to receive and give counsel in a truly biblical manner. Before they instruct, they should consider how to answer rather than just blurt out whatever comes to mind. That's one of my gifts. They should make sure that their counsel is in keeping with Ephesians 4 and admonishes us to speak only that which is good according to the need of the moment, for the purpose of edification, ministering grace, to help our adult children. That is how we are supposed to engage with them. Guiding, wisely, lovingly, thoughtfully, sparingly, and then you let them live their lives, unless you think they're in danger. As parents attempt to influence their adult children, they must use soft speech rather than hard, irritable words. They must appeal and persuade rather than demand and push. And by the way, there's a tendency for moms and dads to not do this when the in-law kid is there, but when that one's out of the picture, you can revert to being kind of, what are you doing? I just do not understand why you would move there. Why would you? What are you thinking? That's not the way we're supposed to be talking to our adult children. Parents must determine whether the issue they are addressing is actually a sinful pattern and not one of those things that Scripture says should be overlooked. Eighth, how you doing, Mom and Dad? Parents should be careful not to do anything such as criticize or nag that would weaken their children's marriage relationship. Instead, they ought to look for every opportunity to praise and encourage their child's spouse. And you'll find a joy in doing that. I have to confess to you, I actually do that a lot. Not because I'm so magnanimous, but I've got a great son-in-law. I'm happy to do it. It's really good to do it. You know what? It makes me feel better that my daughter is living with him. He's a good guy. Say it. Speak it. Encourage. Parents should have the same respect for their children's privacy as they do for anyone else they know. In other words, Mom and Dad, how do you treat your peer relationships regarding privacy? That's how you should treat your kids. Now, with that being said, let's close our discussion about in-laws with an encouragement from Wayne Mack in his book, In-Laws, Married with Parents. Kids, this is the letter you need to write to your mom and dad. It begins with, "Dear Mom and Dad, I want to thank you for your love and devotion to me as a kid growing up," and then list all of the wonderful things. Tell them you're grateful. Then tell them, at this time, a very important time in each of our lives, our relationship will change. Not deteriorate, but change. Scripture asserts that for the cause of marriage shall a man leave his father and mother. Well, that time has arrived in my life. So as a Christian, I will always honor you, appreciate you, respect you, pray for you, commend you, and seek to help you. But still God says I must leave. And in obedience to the God I love, I will do that. How... How helpful is that? If you're young and you're getting married and you just feel like they still treat me like kids, you have got so much power to help and bless your parents and change the dynamic of your relationship. God says that next to my relationship to him, or perhaps I should say part of my relationship to him, my relationship with my spouse must become the priority relationship. I'm sure you'll agree. So from this time, we become one flesh. We want to have the relationship God intends and to be everything God wants us to be. I ask you to regard my spouse as a part of the family in the same way as you regard me. After all, we become one flesh. You have given me wisdom from God, and from time to time, I will be returning to you for counsel. And when we do, we will take your counsel seriously. But under God, we will think, search the scriptures, pray, and determine God's will for ourselves. We need your continued love and assistance, but God has called us to establish a new family for Christ, developing our own unique lifestyle within the framework of the scripture. We want to be your friends as well as your children. Please understand what I'm saying. I want to do what God wants us to do, and I still want our relationship to be loving and wonderful. And it captures the whole dynamic, doesn't it? I wonder if maybe you have a letter you need to write. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, let's take a minute and talk about your Christmas shopping list. You know, the one with all of those people who either have everything or return everything. Well, from now through Christmas, Fortis Institute is running a sale up to 75% off of everything in the Fortis store. Here's what makes this better than another ugly Christmas sweater. Spend $75, we're going to throw in Thou Shalt Judge featuring Justin Peters and Todd Friel completely free. It's giving the gift of biblical wisdom. And we'll even cover shipping on orders over $75, because between untangling Christmas lights and dodging invites to your office Christmas party, you've already got enough stress this time of year. Listen, you could waste your Christmas budget on another gadget that'll be obsolete by Valentine's Day, or you could give something that's been relevant for about 2,000 years. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. And while everybody else is out panic buying scented candles and gift cards, you could actually be giving something that won't end up at next year's White Elephant Exchange. FortisInstitute.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work, and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, you want to hear something crazy? There is someone out there who wants to match your generosity dollar for dollar. Fortis Institute has received a $500,000 matching grant. That means every gift you give between now and December the 31st, it gets doubled. Let me break it down for you. If you give $75, it becomes $150. You send $300, it turns to $600. And if you're feeling ambitious, you make a $1,000 donation to Fortis Institute, suddenly you're making a $2,000 impact. It's like a buy one, get one deal, but instead of you getting another sweater you don't need, you help strengthen churches and equip believers with solid biblical teaching. And I know what you're thinking, what's the catch? Well, there are two. First, this offer ends December the 31st. Second, actually, that's it. That's the only catch. No hidden fees, no processing and handling. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, and watch your gift do double duty, because in a world where everything seems to cost twice as much, isn't it nice to have something worth twice as much instead? FortisInstitute.org.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre.
One genre we find in Scripture is an epistle. Epistles are letters written to the church at large or to a specific church which contain doctrine, theological arguments, and practical application. God uses first century correspondence to deliver his timeless truth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, let's just see if someone was paying attention. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy. Talking about relationships with the kids as they grow older, particularly when they leave the house, they get married, and the dynamic and how life changes because you're the in-laws now. And the dynamic can be a disaster if you don't work it through. You just heard from this booklet, the child writing a letter to mom and dad, basically using all the instruction in Wayne Mack's book to say, hey, love you, appreciate you, respect you, honor you. That'll never change. So grateful for you. But now I'm at this stage in life and I obey God and this is his intention. And this is how it's going to look. We're going to keep loving you. We're going to come to you for wisdom. We'll always speak well of you, but we won't necessarily do everything that you tell us to do because we're now the one flesh primary relationship in each other's lives. And we will do this together. Please, this isn't a degrading of our relationship. It's just a changing. And we want to be friends with you. That is not an easy assignment. To start treating your child like a peer. Now, the dynamic is always going to be slightly off compared to your actual peers by age. But it should become different. Here's a question for you. Do you ever go to your kids for counsel? They know stuff. That's changing the dynamic. Rather than just downloading information, you seek to get information from them. The letter concludes with, please know, even though this is changing both of our lives, I'm still your child and I still love you, but I'm now in a relationship that supersedes that. I know you're glad that we're trying to obey the Lord. What a letter to write to parents, not loaded with, I'm going to sneak this in. Hey, I love you a bunch. I'm not going to do your stuffing recipe for Christmas, but I'm still going to honor you. You don't use the letter to like load and make sure that you kind of settle some issues that are annoying to you, but you do set the table. Now, Jimmy, here's something that Wayne Mack didn't do in his book.
Okay.
He didn't write a letter from parents to children.
Mm.
How would you write that letter, Jimmy?
Oh, my goodness. How would I write a letter from myself to my children?
Mm-hmm. With everything that we've just heard from Wayne, what should we say to our kids in advance, whether it is orally, face-to-face, Zoom, or in a letter? What would you say to your kids? Hey, Dad, I'm dating this goyle. And we're thinking about getting hitched. And the day comes, he proposes. There's suddenly an intruder into the Hicks home. What could you write to them to make this relationship wonderful? Go.
Oh, that's a tough question, man. It really is. Because, man.
Well, let's follow his pattern.
Yeah.
Dear kid, I love you. I've adored you. I've poured so much into you, and I'm so glad to see that you are now following God's commands to leave and to cleave. Well done. Thought it might be wise to consider some implications of this change in dynamic. This doesn't mean that I'll not continue to love you as a son or daughter. That'll never change. And you need to know I'm going to struggle with that. You need to know that it's going to be hard for me to heed my own advice, to not butt in, to not be overbearing, to not insist on my own way. You have my word. That's my goal. But I would ask you to forgive me when I fail, because I suspect I'm going to. It's not done to annoy you. It's done out of love for you. As we move forward with this, I will welcome your spouse into this family, because your spouse is going to be a part of this family because they're one flesh with you. And I'm going to honor your spouse. I'm going to speak well of your spouse. And I am going to seek to be a friend to you as opposed to a domineering parent. And I have to confess again, it's not going to be easy for me. I think I'm going to fumble the ball on this one. But I'm going to try. And if you need to remind me, hey, Dad, you're not really respecting me and honoring our one flesh union here, I'll do my best to receive that well. Because I want you to be living the way that God wants you to live. And God doesn't want you to live with an overbearing parent. He wants you to live cleaving to your wife, living your life together, sometimes making mistakes. We'd love to help if we can. We'd love to share in the joyful moments. But in all of this, as our dynamic changes, here's the one thing that won't change. Our love for you. Okay, Jimmy, something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Well, I read the book. You just had to listen in a cursory sort of way. Let me share with you one last thing from the In-Laws book by Wayne Mack. This is published by PRPBooks.com. PRPBooks.com. It's called In-Laws Married with Parents. I suspect they've got a lot of Wayne Mack's booklets there. This is like 50 pages long. I read it last night. It was just very easy to read. But this is an assignment that I wouldn't just recommend for kids who are getting married. Maybe you could do this with your spouse. Because if things are still a little turbulent, not as smooth as they should be, having this conversation might be extremely helpful. It's called a family of origin study, where you answer some questions about your upbringing, your parents, because they have infected, that's a bad choice. They've influenced your thinking. They have really built you to be much of what you are today. And that stuff doesn't go away quickly. And so recognizing that I hold on to those proclivities, this is the way we do it. No. We don't live in an apartment. We've always lived in a house. Okay, you got a family of origin issue. No. We go to church on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Not one. We go to both. What is that? It's a family of origin issue. So if you have that type of dynamic in your home, perhaps working through the family of origin study, talking about family occupations. What were your parents' status in the economic strata? How's about the quality of your parents' marriage? How's about thinking that through? Okay, what was my parents' marriage like? Huh? Is that why I'm acting like this? And maybe because I see my spouse acting a different way in marriage, it's because, oh, that's how she was taught by her parents. And you can become more sympathetic. Family rules. Clearly stated versus unstated. Many rules, no rules. Was there discipline? Was there spanking? If you were spanked as a kid and your parents did it crummy, you're not going to want to spank your kid because you're going to think that's what spanking is. But maybe your spouse who grew up with a mom or dad who said, I don't like doing this. This is not my favorite thing, but I'm called by God and because I love you to apply this rod for your correction and for your repentance and for your desire to run to the Lord for forgiveness. So I'm going to do this, but just know I'm not going to enjoy this. Now, he or she's going to bring that to the party. If you didn't know that before you got married, bump, 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 bump. Get rid of these things before you get married. Or today, if you are married, consider family beliefs, family customs, views about money. You grew up in a frugal home because, well, you didn't have a lot. She grew up in a home that was lavish and money was, we don't talk about such gauche things. You think that might come into play somewhere in your marriage? It's gonna. Get it worked out. Whether you're going to or you are married, get it worked out. Views about sex. Views about responsibilities and roles of husband, father, and wife and mother. You don't work that one out? Woo! What do you mean you're going to keep going to work and we're putting the kid in daycare? Not over my dead body. Talk it through. And by the way, if you're doing this before you get married, you might discover through this, you might discover we've got too many things that are insurmountable. We're too entrenched. We're not mature enough yet. We're not ready. Might help you in that regard. What about relationship with extended family, involvement in church activities, family's political views, views about work, recreation, and vacations, family secrets like dad has a temper, mom's kind of emotional. Know those things because you're going to see those things in your spouse. Share those things transparently and willingly so that you can start to understand one another. And then finally, ways of handling problems, disagreements, ways of communicating, and ways of making decisions. Work through your family of origin study. Because when you become one flesh with your spouse, even though you leave mom and dad behind, you're going to bring a lot of that with you. And it's not necessarily wrong. But you need to know that your spouse also has a family of origin and they're going to be bringing their baggage with them. And if you can get it worked out in advance, you'll be miles down the happiness road of marriage. And if you're married and things are like, maybe do this study and perhaps some things will get revealed and worked out. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.